Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Channel Radio and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of June, with me, Paul Andrews, and Mr. Marvellous, Martin White.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, I've got some emails that I want to read, and we've got another guest to talk to, so loads happening in the second part of the show. I want to tell you about a fabulous event that's happening on Thursday, the 6th of July, and it's the second one in the series. I was at the first one, and I'm certainly going to the second one because it was brilliant. It's the Networkers Networking event, set in the stunning location of Brands Hatch Place at Forkham, and we look forward to welcoming you to the second event of its type, an event that's all about networking. It's going to take place on Thursday, the 6th of July, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. with four great speakers, each sharing valuable information and tips on how to make your networking effective and efficient. Eight of the best networking mastermind and associations in Kent and many like-minded business owners to network with in a very relaxed setting. The Networkers Networking event is suitable for you if you have just started networking and are unsure of where to go or how to do it effectively. If you already network but are frustrated because it's not working for you so far. If you're a serial networker who loves networking and don't want to miss a great networking opportunity. The speakers at this event are Mark Lemesma. He's a keynote speaker sharing his knowledge as a communication skills coach. Glenys Chatterley, who's the managing director of the Effective Business Network, EBN. And she's a sharing network 101 is what she's talking about. Phil Wilson, who's the owner of Inspirational Rhythms, sharing the small steps to building your business. And Sasha Mulligan, who's a speaker, educator, author and entrepreneur, sharing the importance of mindset and energy when networking. So four really brilliant speakers at the event. The groups that have signed up to be there are Evo Girls, the Federation of Small Business, the Property Vault and Women in Business. The Networkers Networking event is an all-day event, and you're welcome to join us for as long as you want to, yeah? If you can't stay all day, just book without lunch and pop in when you want. So let me run through the ticket prices. If you book in advance, it's 15 quid to attend the event, nothing, yeah? And that's with refreshments but no lunch. If you book in advance, it's 20 quid with refreshments and a buffet lunch. If you pay on the door, it's 20 quid without lunch and 25 quid with lunch. So peanuts, absolute peanuts, get there. Thursday the 6th of July, be there. Otherwise, I'll come around your house and drag you over there.
And actually, we went to the last one.
We did.
Or the first one.
The first one at Eastwell Manor. And brilliant, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was really good. Really good day.
Yeah.
And I didn't book the lunch, but luckily my friend Denise had enough on her plate for both of us, so I helped her eat her sandwiches that she wouldn't have.
He ate someone else's lunch. He ate somebody else's lunch and has boasted about it live on the radio. What can you say about this man?
She did tell me off, though, when I reached for her smoked salmon sandwich that she was actually going to eat herself, Denise, so apologies for that. But, yeah, great event. Looking forward to that. Paul, what's one of the biggest challenges facing businesses generally?
No idea, mate.
New markets.
Huh?
It's got to be, hasn't it? Finding new markets for your products and services.
Oh, I see. New markets, not new market in Cambridgeshire.
No.
Okay, got it.
No, that would be horse racing related.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. I was just wondering.
Yeah, although that is business. No. So we're talking about exporting here. We're talking about international markets.
Now, big opportunity.
Right. Now, I'm not quite sure what markets are going to be available to us.
I know some stuff about that. Do you know only 12% of British companies export anywhere?
Right.
Yeah. So European Union, anywhere. Only 12% of British companies export.
And actually, I read another fact recently that we actually export more to non-EU countries.
Yeah, we do.
Than we ever did to EU countries as well.
Yeah.
So the UKTI, I believe it is, have got together with Kent Invicta Chamber, and they're running an event on the 30th of June. It's from 8 till 12 at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel. And they're going to be talking to you about what you need to do to investigate those opportunities for actually growing your business in the international markets. So I think it's going to be quite a worthwhile event to attend that one. So it's 30th of June, 8 till 12, Mercure Great Danes. And if you go onto the Kent Invicta website, you'll find all the information on there. But, if you're keen to look at finding new markets for your business, then why not think big, think international?
Fantastic. Do you know, Barnaby Winter of the Brand Bucket was saying this the other day, and it really stuck in my mind because you need to think about things like this. He was saying that the Chinese middle class, that is people that earn disposable income equivalent to more than £45,000 a year, because China's such a big country, there are more than 700 million of them, i.e. twice the amount of people in Europe.
The figure was 330-odd million, actually.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, because I was obviously listening a bit better than you were.
330
million.
But just
to put that into context, okay, that is an economy the size of the US.
Yeah.
That's a domestic economy.
Yep.
Just one group of consumers that's as big as the whole of the US economy.
Absolutely.
Which is enormous, isn't it?
It is. And what he was saying is, if you're in a service business, it is really easy to export services to China. All you do is sign up for Amazon.
Mm.
And Amazon do everything for you. They translate everything into Chinese. Mm. They service, they deliver, they do everything. So even if you run the smallest business possible, the most smallest micro business, you could attack a market of nearly 400 million wealthy people in China.
Well, and what the UKTI do, because they are brilliant, they will actually pay for you to visit markets where you think you've got potential, pay for you to attend trade shows, for example, to actually really help you market your product, and actually build those all important relationships in the first instance. So there's all sorts of funding available for all of that. So, you know, it really is a missed opportunity if you're in a position to be able to do that and you don't take advantage of it.
Cool. Have you ever watched a family history TV program? Like, Who Do You Think You Are? No?
Yes.
And thought, I wish I could have something like that for my family. In other words, your own personal family history film that could leave as a legacy for your children or grandchildren. Or perhaps it could be a unique gift for someone special in your life, a partner or partner's birthday or a landmark or a wedding anniversary or something like that. Well, now you can, thanks to myfamilyhistoryfilm.com. A family history film is a beautiful 20 to 30 minute film which explores your family's history. We will work with you to find the most interesting stories in your family's background. You won't have to work hard on mine, I'll tell you. It will be composed of interviews with you and members of your family who you want to take part, as well as archive footage, which we will research with you. Your film will be narrated by a professional voiceover artist and will have a soundtrack of music of your choice. Family History Films has been making professional videos for 10 years, and our clients include the BBC, Pathé, Huffington Post, L'Oreal and the NHS, as well as several organisations around the world. And there's a Business Bunker show bonus. Contact us now through myfamilyhistoryfilm.com and mention the Business Bunker show to find out about our discount as well as our referral scheme. If you know someone who might be interested in a film, then you could earn a 250 quid bonus. So there you go. That's myfamilyhistoryfilm.com. Do check it out.
Brilliant. Shout out for a lady called Louise Carter, who's hopefully going to be one of our guests on the show in the very near future. Louise runs a telephone marketing training business called Smile While You Dial. And this is, again, an area I think that a lot of businesses overlook in terms of training their staff how to answer the telephone in the correct manner.
You should always smile.
Right.
Always smile.
Okay. So, I mean, Louise has built a business on the back of that. Mm. So it doesn't matter whether you're an accountant or a business like Sue's, first impressions count for an awful lot, don't they? So Louise has developed two workshops, a half-day workshop and a full-day workshop, where she will come into your business and embed the proper training that your staff need in order to manage your customers' telephone calls properly. Simple
Fantastic.
As that. You can find all of that information on Supply My Business website.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Michael Parks. That's Michael Parks, the surveyors over there in Medway. And they say, hello, Paul. Hello, Business Bunker. We'd love a shout-out, please. So consider yourself shouting out. That's MPSL on the Twitter.
What's another big problem that businesses that have grown...
Oh, he's getting really questiony today, isn't he? He's come over all paxman today,
isn't
he?
Just testing your knowledge
of
the business world.
Yeah, go on.
What's another big problem that a lot of businesses, small businesses that grow really quickly struggle with?
Cash flow?
No.
Yeah, they do.
Something else?
Skills?
Process.
No.
Systems.
Process.
So I've got a friend who started work recently. I'm not going to name names.
No,
but he's a health and safety manager.
Right.
And this particular company that he's working for have grown so quickly that all of their systems and processes really just haven't kept pace.
So he's coming to look at the business at a strategic health and safety level, and he's actually finding himself having to write risk assessments and things like that for jobs that are getting done, you know, on a daily basis inside this business. Mm-hmm. So HR is another area where a lot of businesses can easily fall behind on. Employee handbooks, for example, employment contracts, all that kind of stuff when you're growing really quickly can just kind of get left by the wayside.
Sure.
Gemma Fairclough-Haynes.
Gemma Fairclough-Haynes would be the answer to that.
Is running some workshops.
Orchard Employment Law.
That's right. In Westmorling at the hand over your ears time.
I know exactly.
At the Regus offices where she's going to be... She's going to be helping people, managers in business, in businesses where there is no HR resource, to understand the due diligence that they need to do in order to be compliant with the law from an employment law perspective. So the course dates start on the 3rd of July, and I believe there's one a month through to November. So there's five in total. The day will begin at 10 a.m. and end at 3, and as I said, you know, the whole structure of the day is to equip you as a manager in a business with the skills that you need in order to manage HR employment law effectively within that business so that you don't get into trouble.
Fantastic.
So,
And Gemma's really brilliant. She's really good.
Yeah. So to find out more information, you can either contact Gemma at info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk, or she's also on the Twitter at Gemma Fairhay. So that starts on the 3rd of July. Get yourself booked on. It's £249 per day, so per workshop, including lunch as well.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Oasis, the sponsors of today's show, and they say, we would love a shout out for our Pegasus software event at Legoland.
Oh,
at Legoland on the 5th of July. You can book online. Twitter has kindly shortened the link for me so that I can no longer read it. Mm. So the thing to do is to follow Oasis on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is O_A_SYS, and you can find out about attending their Legoland event on the 5th of July. I might go to that.
They're building these Legolands everywhere now, aren't they? Yeah. There's another new Legoland going to be built somewhere. It's quite a thing.
My kids grew up too quick. They were too old, but Legoland was...
My thing was sort of Tonka toys, and I grew up in Germany, so my thing was Playmobil, that came over here afterwards. Yeah. That was my big thing.
Yeah.
I used to love my Playmobil stuff. Yeah.
Used to have a little car park and everything.
Yeah, garages, all sorts. Brilliant.
Car wash.
Mm. All very German. Yeah. All very well put together. They never broke. In fact, it was you could flip their little wigs off and interchange them. But apart from that, you couldn't pull their hands off or anything. Yeah. I mean,
and then the war broke out and he had to come home. Never mind. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to actually talk to someone sensible again.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Neil De Silva.
Thank you, Paul.
I Nutrition onto the show. Neil's a specialist in your guts. That's paraphrasing it a bit, really. You know, just cutting to the chase. Neil's a nutritional specialist, and we've been having some interesting conversations off air with Neil about the state of Martin and
all those biscuits.
Yeah, and while Neil can work miracles, you know, some things are just beyond him.
I do have my limits.
Yeah, compared to your kebab affliction, mate, a few Garibaldis and bourbon biscuits and nothing.
Bourbon biscuits.
Yeah, yeah.
There's alcohol
involved. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah,
I do like a tipple.
Yeah. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure to see you, mate. Thank you for having me on. Thank you, Martin, as well.
Yeah. Why don't you start off by telling the listeners a bit about your business, what it is you actually do and how you do it and why you do it. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a qualified nutritionist, and I specialise in helping people to improve their gut health.
Right.
There is a condition called dysbiosis, which most people suffer from but not even realise it.
Okay.
And actually, dysbiosis will affect how people are physically as well as mentally. So even down to things like depression,
right,
can be linked to a condition, this condition called dysbiosis. But also, if I can help someone to improve their gut health, mm-hmm. it actually has an impact on things like weight loss,
Right.
And energy levels and all these things that are connected to the gut that we don't really associate. So, for example, things like rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune condition. So when we get the pain in the, you know, perhaps the knuckles or the wrist or the elbows, we wouldn't necessarily associate that with what goes on in our guts.
Okay.
So I'm a great believer, you know, as you would appreciate, most of my business at the minute is around people wanting to lose weight.
Yep.
Because we do have an obesity crisis in this country.
I know, and he's co-presenting the show, isn't he?
And all those biscuits. It's estimated that in Kent, 65% of people are overweight.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know,
Hold on. 1, 2, 3.
That's about right.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a huge problem. If people are overweight, that's going to have a massive impact on their health, not just in the short term, but also in the longer term too. If you're overweight, you've got more risk of things like cardiovascular issues, type 2 diabetes, stroke, et cetera, et cetera. I won't depress people too much. But there is a huge plethora of conditions that are linked to being overweight.
Right. Okay. So that's good. So let's come back to your guts.
Yes.
Yeah, which seems to have a profound effect on a lot of the things that you're doing.
Yep.
So what is it about your guts that's causing all these issues?
So in your digestive system, in your guts, in your large intestine in particular, you have a huge array of bacteria.
Right.
And actually don't get too technical, but on a cellular level, we are only 10% human.
Yeah.
So 90% of our cells that make us up are actually bacterial. On a genetic level, we are only 1% human. So looking after what goes on in your digestive system is really important. So eating the right things, helping your good gut bacteria to repopulate, feeding them, because when we feed them properly, they in turn feed us. It's a very symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Careful on things like drugs, antibiotics.
Sorry to interrupt, but you're making me think there, because I seem to remember, I may have got this wrong, so bear with me, and I'm sure Neil will know, but I'm sure I read somewhere that after years and years and years and years and years of treating stomach ulcers, didn't they eventually find that it's actually a bacteria issue in the gut, rather than everybody thought it was stress and something?
Acid,
There's a strain of bacteria called Helicobacter, tends to live in the stomach, and it's like a little spiral bacteria, and it burrows its way into the stomach wall, causes infections in the stomach, which can lead to ulceration as well. I mean, stress can lead to ulceration as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of our afflictions that we suffer from are linked to bacteria, particularly that live in us rather than on us.
Okay, cool. So how do we get this naughty bacteria under control? How do I lose tons of weight, not suffer from arthritis, get rid of me ulcers and everything else?
If it was that easy, if there was a magic pill, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah.
It's a gradual process.
Sure.
So it's a case of looking at someone's lifestyle, looking at their diet, looking at what they eat, looking at how much they move, making efforts to repopulate the friendly bacteria.
Right.
So things like probiotics and prebiotics. Probiotics are the bacterial colonies themselves. Prebiotics tend to be the foods that bacteria feed on, so things like fiber.
Right, okay.
Most people these days are deficient in fiber. It's estimated that during the Second World War, we were eating about 120 grams of fiber a day. Most people these days struggle to get to 10.
Really?
So it's,
why was that? People living on grass or something?
Yeah, well, living on vegetables. During the Second World War, meat wasn't readily available.
Sure.
There was a high proportion of vegetables. What we're doing now is we're eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar, a lot of fizzy drinks with high sugar content.
Your Doner kebab shop in Tenterden was just a glint in Mehmet's eye at that point.
Was it?
Yeah. They didn't exist.
Okay. So what are you saying?
Well, like Leon said,
during the war there was a kebab shortage.
People because of the availability, people had to eat proper food.
Right, okay.
Proper food doesn't exist anymore, does it, for a lot of people? It's already made stuff.
It does if you want to go out there and find it. Unfortunately, people live in this fast, convenience-led society. So actually grabbing, you know, junk food or a ready meal is a quick and easy option, and I fully understand that. But actually, if you look after your health I was going to say is actually you don't value how good your health is until you haven't got it. And by the time you realise you haven't got it, often it's too late. So I get people come to me who recognise that they need to make changes before they hit the buffers.
Yeah.
And I get people come to me that say, I'm in trouble, can you help me? And actually, it's really sad to see people have a problem. It's been developing over many, many years. They now have a problem, and it becomes harder to fix the problem once you've got it, rather than take preventative action to stop it happening in the first place.
I think a lot of it also depends on the approach and the methodology to well-being. And I mean, Neil and I have got a networking colleague, Ben, who's been on the show previously, Ben Leach, and he's lost, what is it, five stone or so this year? But he's part of a slimming club. And I think one of the things that Neil is getting into now is these kind of corporate well-being and employee well-being programs, which I think is very exciting because he'll go into businesses and he'll actually develop a tailored framework for everybody to get on board with. And I think when you're doing it as part of a team like that, it becomes a team thing, and nobody wants to let the rest of the team down. And so I'd imagine it's
you get peer pressure as well, don't you?
It's quite motivating, isn't it?
Competitive, yeah.
So tell us a bit more about all of that, Neil, that you get involved with there.
So when we come to corporate nutrition or employee wellbeing programs, companies often don't realise how much sick employees cost them. Now, if you ask a company, what does absence cost you? They can probably give you numbers, but there's a thing called presenteeism. Have you heard of presenteeism? Presenteeism is actually when someone turns up and they're not well. So that has a lot of implications.
Okay. So they're there, but
they're not functioning properly. They're not particularly productive.
Right.
Bupa did a survey, and they actually found out that 89% of workers that turned up unwell admitted that they weren't productive.
Right.
And obviously, if they've got an illness as well, and it's communicable, there's a risk that they're actually going to spread the illness as well. So that has other implications.
And we've all been there. You know, you're not going to get paid if you don't go into work. You know,
exactly. You
just get statutory sick pay, so of course you go to work.
And also, people are worried about losing their job if they have a lot of sickness. They're worried about and that then causes stress. So actually, a lot of companies these days are now realising that investing in the health of their employees is becoming more and more important, because a happy, healthy workforce is a productive workforce. It cuts down on things like recruitment costs, reduces staff turnover, makes them more productive, makes them want to come to work, makes them feel valued. So I think companies are now shifting between seeing a healthy workplace as a cost to actually a healthy workplace as an investment. And there's some really interesting numbers knocking around as well. On a cost ratio, on a return to of investment ratio, they say that you can get a return of £2 for every £1 that you spend on looking after your staff. And if you're going to spend £1 to make two, that's not bad. But there's some actually case studies where companies are getting £34-35 of productivity back for every £1 that they're spending on looking after their staff. Now,
so what does that look like, Neil, in terms of tangibles, in terms of the program itself? Is it a question of developing a recommended kind of nutritional diet for staff? I mean, what are we talking about in terms of how you work with a business on that level?
Well, I have two different routes here. I appreciate that not every employee will want to see me on a one-to-one basis. So this has to be completely voluntary. So I will go in and I will take one or two routes. I will either be going in there and running workshops. So getting staff in a room for an hour or 2 hours once a month, once every couple of months, just to educate them and kind of point them in the right direction, which is great, but it misses out a lot of the important parts of what I do. It misses out the one-to-one interaction. It also misses out, and this is a really big part of what I do, making people accountable, making them responsible for their own health. It's all very well educating people, but doing the follow-up is really, really important.
So is that about giving people targets on an individual level and a kind of group team level, saying, right, you know, this is the overall target, that breaks down like this at an individual level?
It can be both. Mm-hmm. I'm a great believer that employees should bring their teams together and have workplace initiatives. But also, I'm happy to go into a company for a day or two a month and actually almost like on a surgery basis, see their employees on a one-to-one basis. Completely confidential, so they, you know, the employer would need to give me a room so I can operate him. Not literally operate.
Get your knives out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have that off.
So all the services that I offer on an individual one-to-one basis, so the body composition measurements, blood pressure checking, right. Giving them education on a one-to-one basis, completely bespoke, helping them to improve their diet, but helping them with food diaries, so helping them to gradually make some important changes, which in turn would have an impact on their productivity, make them happier, less downtime.
So the business owner will see, you know, reduced absenteeism over time.
Absolutely.
Increased productivity. So all those kind of measures can be put in place.
So here's a quick list of some of the benefits of a wellbeing program. So reduced sickness absence, which is important. That can reduce overtime payments. It can reduce down the cost of employing temporary staff. Yeah. It will also reduce down sick payments as well. So reduced staff turnover costs, so that cuts down on recruitment costs. Mm. Reduced accidents and injuries. Mm. If someone's coming in sick and they're operating a forklift truck, probably not firing on all cylinders.
I've seen that video.
Yeah, there's a few of those around as well. So that helps to reduce the company's insurance costs down because there's less accidents in the workplace. Mm. Happier staff, increased company profile, increased productivity, good publicity. And also there's an indirect benefit. If I go in and I work with staff in a company and I educate that person to live a happier, healthier life, that's going to have a knock-on effect to maybe their partner or maybe even help their children.
Yeah. And you've also got the whole thing about corporate social responsibility building a community and just caring about the people that you work with, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it takes kind of duty of care in terms of providing a safe workplace to a whole other sort of proactive level, doesn't it? And frankly, why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, businesses are nothing without their staff at the end of the day. So
we kind of, you know, there's not a huge amount of time left and there's loads of things we could talk about in this. But I'm kind of really interested in the whole food industry in terms of how we've got to where so much of the stuff we eat is bad for us. You know, it's full of sugar, it's full of salt, it's processed, and we understand that a lot of that is due to regulations because you can't sell stuff without it all in, otherwise, you know, the politicians don't like it. You know, God forbid it goes rotten or something. But the fact is we've been eating rubbish food for far too long.
Yep.
And there's no reason for that. You know, there's plenty of good food available. We just don't eat it. And the problem that I see now is that we've weaned people away from good, substantial food, and we're now totally addicted to sugar and fat, which is what all the processed foods have got in them.
Yeah, exactly.
And for someone like me that's got a terrible lifestyle, it's not easy to eat healthily, even if I want to, yeah?
Yeah.
I get home late at night, I think, do I really want to start cooking something from scratch and da-da-da-da-da? But it was interesting because I didn't eat any, but I noticed yesterday while I was at 1809, Kelly Holmes's place, people were having lunch there. And, of course, you know, you can imagine she's a very healthy lady and she's really keen on being healthy and stuff like that. Although she did tell me, sorry, Kelly, she's doing a marathon soon and she hadn't been in training. And she went on a 10-mile run yesterday, which turned into 18 miles because she got lost. Sorry about that, Kelly. I promise not to tell anyone. But
don't worry, Paul. That would never happen to you, mate.
No, it wouldn't, mate. No, it wouldn't ever.
You'd be lucky to get past the first mile mark.
Yeah, right. You're not wrong. But what I noticed in her cafe was the healthy foods. It wasn't just healthy food. It looked really wonderful. Yeah. There were loads of really nice things that they were serving in there. So it's not difficult to serve nice food. That's healthy.
It's not difficult. It's got to be important. It's got to be important, and if people want to eat healthily, sometimes it does take a little bit more planning than just popping into a supermarket and buying a ready meal and whacking it in the microwave.
Yeah.
But that comes down to it being important to the person. If someone wants to make a change, if they want to eat healthy, yes, the options are out there. Mm. It's not really that more expensive to eat healthily than it is to eat unhealthily. Mm. We've got to take a bit more time. We've got to prepare more and plan more, absolutely. I have clients that prepare meals a week ahead, and they put them in Tupperware pots. Yeah. Other pots are available, and they just freeze them.
You've got to have a routine, haven't you? I think getting into a routine is important. So I start, for example, by in my top drawer, I've got a corkscrew at home, and I take that out
for the liquid lunch.
And but, you decor your apple with. Well,
you know, hold on, Martin thinks that a juice drink is something made of grapes. Yeah.
Red or white.
So just to go back on your point about sugar. Sugar does a couple of unpleasant things to the body. Sugar is incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
As addictive, they've done experiments on the hypothalamus, which sits in the middle of the brain, and sugar is as addictive as heroin. So, arguably, not as damaging in the short term, but it shows you the addiction to sugar. Also, sugar gets in the way of a hormone called leptin. Now, leptin is a hormone your body produces to tell you that you're full up, and sugar blocks it.
Right.
So if you have a high sugar diet, you never really feel like you're full up.
That rings so true with me. I mean, I'm a bread man. Yeah, I mean, I could eat six slices of toast for breakfast, but it's all sugar at the end of the day, isn't it? The sugar content in bread is horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, white bread's worse. Whole grain is better. Mm. I won't come on to gluten at this point. That's a whole different subject. But sugar is put into a lot of our foods. High fructose corn syrup, which is the cheap form, which is incredibly addictive, is even in things like tomato ketchup.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I don't have a sweet tooth. I'm not a sweet person. I don't like chocolate. I don't eat sweets. I don't like sweet stuff. But I still consume vast amounts of sugar because I don't even know it's there. Mm. Yeah. And that's what really annoys
which
me.
Which comes down to reading food labels and starting to understand how food labeling works. Yeah.
Fat-free yogurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, take out the fat.
Honestly, the carbohydrate turns to sugar.
Yeah. Mm.
And my husband was buying these fat-free yogurts for ages. I was going, we can't eat them. So it's fat-free. I went, you've got 15 grams of sugar in it.
And the interesting thing is actually you need fat in your diet.
Yeah.
You just don't need too much, and you don't need the bad fats, but you need things like polyunsaturated, unsaturated fats in your diet to function properly.
You really must read food labels. I mean, I've got a favourite chocolate mousse from Aldi at the moment. It's Belgian chocolate mousse. And I was supposed to be having a sort of a good day yesterday, and my wife was out. She's gone down to the pub quiz. I thought, I'll have one of those chocolate mousse. We've got one in the fridge. And I looked at the label, and there were 374 calories in my little pot of chocolate mousse. Unbelievable. All sugar.
Don't even get me started on food labelling, because the problem with food labelling is there's no consistency. Yeah, you know, and you're trying to produce something. I pick, because I'm on a diet at the moment, I look at the calorie content of anything that I buy, and I know the calories of most things anyway. But I pick up a packet of something yesterday, and it's got four in it, okay? Yeah. There's four whatever it was. I can't even remember what it was, right? So it says...
Part of your four a day.
No. It says the calorie content of this is 200 calories per 100 grams, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't have the weight of either the whole packet or even the individual bits. And you're trying to, you've got a calculator and you're trying to work out, you know, it's just dumb.
So is that the Food Standards Agency, Neil, that needs to kind of up their game a bit there?
I mean, they introduced the traffic light system a few years ago. And as a guide, you know, the red, amber, green is actually not a bad, for the layman, it's actually not a bad guide to help you to eat a bit more healthily. But just to touch back on Paul's point, if you get a bag of popcorn, for example, and you look at the food label on the back, it will tell you the size or the nutrition information per portion.
Yeah.
A bag of popcorn will have eight portions in it.
Yeah, that's
it,
But I was doing that for ages.
So misleading.
I was buying a big, and it says, 80 calories in that, that's right. And when I turn around, it's actually 700
was
calories.
Was that your new diet food, was it? Popcorn. You started eating it for breakfast, lunch,
exactly,
and dinner.
Well, I could survive on this. This is all right.
What's really interesting is when I take on a new client, I get them to do a food diary before we have a consultation. And it's really enlightening to them how many calories they're eating and what and how they're balanced between things like carbs and fats and proteins are completely out of whack. And most people can eat 2, 3, sometimes 4,000 calories a day and not even realise it. You know, a bottle of wine is 600 to 700 calories.
And the wine makes you hungry, so you eat more as well.
Yeah.
And then you have a curry.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far.
So, you know, a can of Coke, it's got 10 teaspoons of sugar in it. But then that's not to say that the diet options are better because they have chemicals in them. So it's a real minefield. And I'm, you know, if you follow my Twitter feed, if you follow my Facebook page, I give away a lot of information.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer in educating people. Whether they become clients or not, it doesn't really matter. My mission is kind of to help people live healthier lives.
Yeah.
And I give away a huge amount of information.
Fantastic. Neil, we could talk about this all
we
day.
We could indeed.
Sadly, we come to the end of it. So that's a very neat point to wrap up on. So if people want to find out more about what you do,
yep,
what's the best way to do that? What's your Twitter handle, Facebook page, website, or wherever, whatever's the best way for people to interact with you?
My Twitter handle is IronNutritionUK.
Right.
So the letter IronNutritionUK. My Facebook is also IronNutritionUK. So facebook.com/IronNutritionUK. And my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk.
I love the sound of those corporate employee wellbeing programs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think when you're doing it as part of a unit, a team, yeah. I mean, when I worked in advertising in London, we had a bar in the office. And that was, and we were able to smoke at our desks, and that was our team bonding thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
So at 5 o'clock, we'd all go down the bar and smoke a packet of fags.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is slightly different, isn't it?
And for most companies, there are some real quick fixes. There are some what I would call low-hanging fruit to improve the health of their employees, but they've got to see it as a longer-term strategy. You know, there's very few quick fixes that can turn things around quickly, but it's a great investment in your staff, and it's a great investment in your business as well.
Neil, thank you for that. Thank you so much for telling us about that. It's a topic that we could talk about more and more and more, and it's a topic that we do need to talk about more and more, our whole food issue.
That struggle with their weight, it dominates their lives.
Absolutely,
it's a constant struggle mentally about, you know, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if I was slim, it would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Oh,
I'm right in saying, though, Neil, aren't I? If you put good fats in your body releases the bad fats that it's stored.
You just need to not eat the bad fats.
Yeah.
So hydrogenated fats, more water, more fibre. I mean, there are some real basic tips I could give. I'll give you one, you know, water, drink more water. Mm. Pint of water when you wake up, pint before you go to bed.
But we're going to carry on, aren't
we? We could,
But I totally get it. You know, people talk about fibre,
yep,
and then a lot of people add fibre to their diet by buying cereal.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is just full of sugar.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah.
And salt as well.
Yep.
Lots of salt.
Again, you need salt in your diet, you just don't need too much.
No.
And salt's added to most foods to give it some flavour.
Absolutely. Neil, thank you so much for
that. Thank you, Paul.
Follow iNutrition on the Twitter, follow iNutrition on Facebook, and i-nutrition.co.uk on the web.
I've got an idea.
Have you?
Why don't we have a business bunker corporate wellbeing programme?
Well, me and you.
No. Neil, all the presenters, everyone involved in the show, Neil can create a corporate wellbeing program for the Business Bunker people.
I shall whip you into shape.
Let's do it. We could get Jules involved, and that'll be a real laugh.
Right. So, because I mean, you know, there's a couple of heavyweights sitting in the room here today.
He said that, Jules, not me.
in the room.
That was
here
Martin
today.
Jules. I didn't say that. I didn't say Neil, you were heavyweight.
I'll get rid of the Gary Baldies.
I'm serious about that. We should do that.
I actually agree with you. And
what better proof?
Yeah. And then we could do a program on the before and after, couldn't we?
Yeah, I think we should. Because you and I are both into it. We know we should be doing more, but we're weak.
We shall do it. We shall make
it
happen.
Excellent.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you the roundup of news from
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show again when we're going to bring you a roundup of the news from the Federation of Small Business. I'm going to read you some of the things that they've got going on. If you want to book any of those or find out any more detail about any of these, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and look at the FSB tab, all of them are on there, and you can find out more detail and book your place. So the next thing is tomorrow night, manana, Wednesday night, at the Secret Pantry in the High Street, Tenterton, is an FSB Connect networking meeting, and that starts at 5:30. And then there's a Women in Enterprise, Essential Business Tools to Untap Your Potential, on Tuesday the 27th of June. That's at 9 a.m. in Fraser's in Ashford.
I don't know where Fraser's is, so it's TN279DD, somewhere in Ashford. And then there's a Bank of England roundtable on Thursday the 29th of June at Cafe 1809 in Hildebrough. Where do you go to access finance for your business?
Is that Bank of England or is that British Business Bank?
No, it's the British Business Bank.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a Bank of England roundtable with the British Business Bank, and they're talking about what the BBB can do to help you fund your next business venture.
They're really interesting people, actually, because they're the organisation behind the Startup Loan Company, for example. It's all funded through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Business coaching programmes like Growth Accelerator, Manufacturing Advisory Service, it was all paid for through British Business Bank.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you about the next event, but you can't come because it's full. And that's the Skills 3030 Network, which we inspire the next generation of young people. And we're at the Willington Academy on Friday the 30th of June, but we already have 58 businesses booked on that and there's no more room. So, sorry, we will let you know when the next one's taking place. And then there's the FSB Connect Ashford, Wednesday the 5th of July at the Farrier's Arms, Ashford. And that's an FSB member venue to meet business owners. I believe that's taking place during the morning. I think it's 10:30. So if you want to find out about any more of those, and they're also due to be launching regular networking events in Folkestone, Gillingham and Maidstone, you can find out all about it by going to bizradio.co.uk/FSB or hit the FSB tab. Martin.
Yeah. I thought this ridiculous national insurance hike for self-employed people had gone away.
Nope.
But it hasn't, by all accounts. It's just been put on the back burner while we deal with the aftermath of this ridiculous election that we've just had. Mm-hmm. So the Federation of Small Business, I mean, people may not realise, but their core function really is to lobby central government on behalf of small business owners, so that punitive things like national insurance hikes just don't come into being. So apparently that is still very much on the agenda. So, you know, once Brexit is out of the way and once we've actually got a stable government, I believe that the plan is to kind of force that through again. So rest assured that the FSB are working on everybody's behalf to make sure that doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
And no doubt will keep us posted in terms of their progress there.
Mm-hmm. Employment is up again. The number of people in employment has risen to almost 32 million. That's the highest since records began. 15% of all people in work are self-employed, which is chiming with the FSB's calls for the next government to bring back this growing group of entrepreneurs instead of attacking them all the time, which they're doing at the moment. The latest figures also show pay is down 0.2% in real terms. Uh-oh. And we're calling for employment allowances to rise to £4,000 to help small firms with wage costs, because obviously the next rise in the living wage is due shortly. And we're also obviously talking about implementing a living wage. Martin.
Ransomware, still very hot on the agenda. I mean, we had this massive attack recently. Was it on the NHS, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Which they're now saying came from North Korea.
Yeah.
Unbelievably.
Mm. Didn't think they had a computer.
Well, I mean, you know, it kind of beggars belief. But anyway, the FSB are urging all businesses really to make sure that they are certainly cyber attack aware. And there are some very interesting reference information sources that you can go to. So the National Cyber Security Centre website, for example, will give you kind of tips to guard against an attack in your own business. There are also things, obviously, like cyber protection insurance that you should look into as well. And in fact, people like JJ Systems, who've been on here before, will regularly run cybercrime seminars and workshops. So get yourself along to one of those and just be aware of, you know, the potential exposure that you have as a business to something like that, because it's very real for every business owner on a daily basis now.
Yep. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. There's a telecoms advisory group called the DCMS and the DCMS portfolio, which is run by David Webb. And it's planning to set up a virtual advisory group on telecoms. The intention is that this group will meet online, predominantly via email and telephone, on an as-needed basis to discuss legislation and policy emerging from the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. So this is a collection of FSB members that they're asking to get involved if you want to sit on an advisory group to try to influence policy on what is woeful
and it is woeful telecommunications infrastructure of what laughingly passes for a first world country when I can get better internet connections in the bush in Uganda than I can in southeast England, we know we're onto a loser.
My phone line at home went down a month ago, so I've just had Crackle for a month. And I obviously...
Is there any fibre in that?
Crackling.
Obviously, all the infrastructure is BT Openreach. They own all the infrastructure unless it's cable, I think. So anyway, I'm with Sky, so I had to go via them, who then obviously then have to go via Openreach. And it turns out that the wire in my road that links the pole to the green box at the end of the road had corroded. Because, of course, it's only copper wire.
Yeah.
It's going to corrode after 50-odd years, isn't it? But they'd actually installed a new wire about a year ago, but they hadn't bothered to kind of move anybody over to the new wire. They're waiting for people to ring them to say their phone doesn't work anymore before they move them over to the new wire.
I know. I had almost exactly the same.
Unbelievable.
I had almost exactly the same, and I had 5 weeks without a telephone waiting for the engineers to arrive. And the engineer arrived, and he went, oh, someone unplugged your phone. Why did they do that? And he said, well, we've been changing the cabinet. Okay. And then he said, your broadband should be working. I said, I don't have BT broadband because it's rubbish. And he said, oh, you ought to get Infinity. And I said, it's not available. And he went, oh, it is. It's in the cabinet. And I went, come with me. And I logged on and I asked, and it said, no, they have no date for its availability. And the Openreach engineer said, well, I can show it to you. Yeah. It's in the cabinet outside your drive.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. So the Openreach engineers are brilliant. Yeah. I've got to say, this guy that came around my house, he spent hours, right?
Money
3 hours.
Spend on wasted journeys.
Right. It's the guys controlling the purse strings at the corporate end that are absolutely useless. They have no idea about customer service whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
The engineers are brilliant.
Yeah.
You guys do a great job.
Yeah.
It's the people you work for, unfortunately, that let you down.
Yeah.
And we could do a right rant about BT because they are my favourite company. Not.
Well, they're about to be...
broken up.
Yeah. So.
And not before time. Cool. Well, that brings us to the end of our news update.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio News Update. Channel Radio News Update.
I just want to tell you about something that's happening tomorrow. Introducing the Swanley Third Wednesday Networking Event. It's an inaugural meeting. That's the first, Martin.
Inaugural.
Inaugural.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, I-N-A-U-G-U-R-A-L. Inaugural. I can spell it because it's written here in front of me.
That's not bad for someone that left school at 12.
Exactly. No, it was later than that. It was after lunch. The inaugural meeting of the Swanley Third Wednesday Networking Group is tomorrow, the 21st of June, 10:30 till 12 at the Alexandra Suite in St Mary's Road, Swanley. We're pleased to announce an exciting new business networking event for Swanley on the 21st of June from 10:30 till 12, kindly hosted by Swanley Town Council and to be held at the Alexandra Suite. This event has been organised by the Seven Oaks and District Chamber of Commerce in collaboration with Swanley Town Council and the support of local businesses. The aim of the event is to provide businesses in Swanley with an opportunity to network, meet other businesses and find out about local and district-wide initiatives relevant to the business community. A 50% discount on the entrance fee will be offered for this inaugural event, and the entrance fee is only £5 for guests, and there'll be discounts available on the day for non-members if they join the chamber. We very much hope you will support this event by providing regular meetings. We hope to encourage cross-exchange of information, build better business relationships and better promote the prosperous and vibrant business community. I know the folks at Seven Oaks Chamber very well. It's a small chamber, but it's absolutely brilliant. They do loads of brilliant events. They're a great crowd of people. Mark Tovey, Andrea Starbuck and all the Judy Phillips. Yeah. All the people involved in Seven Oaks Business Chamber, great bunch of people.
Yeah.
So do check it out on their website, sevenoakschamber.com, or you can contact Secretary Judy Phillips on 01732 455 188 or info@sevenoakschamber.com.
Could you be an Evo Girls host?
Me?
Could you be an Evo Girls host?
Me?
Yes.
I'm not wearing a tutu again, if that's what
you're
asking.
Well, you don't have to be a girl to go to an Evo Girls meeting. That's the kind of a common misconception. I've actually been along to one, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But
I bet you did.
Rebecca is doing opening up a couple of new Evo Girls. Rebecca Robertson is opening up a couple of new Evo Girls
meetings up in London. Mm-hmm. And so she's having to take a step back from some of her Kent-based business for Evo Girls. Mm-hmm. So I think it's her, Anwyn Cooper, mm-hmm. Jude Hill, and I think there's another lady. There's four of them that run Evo Girls.
Yeah.
But they're looking for ladies, ideally, I guess, who can host Evo Girls networking meetings in Kent, in some of those areas. And I think they meet in Gravesend, Ashford, Maidstone, Tunbridge Wells, there may be a couple of others. So if you think you would like to host an Evo Girls networking group, please get in touch with Rebecca. You can email her at evogirls1@gmail.com. Otherwise, you'll find her on the Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm sure. It's Rebecca Robertson. Okay, good luck with that.
Fantastic, thank you. So are you going to do one, Martin?
I've been along.
I know you've been along in the past, but are you going to host a meeting?
I don't have time to host a girls' meeting, but they are very, very good meetings. In fact, the one I went to, they had a lady that had come up all the way from Plymouth, I think it was, that morning on the train, to give a talk about Your Thing. So she's written a book called Your Thing. It's very interesting. It's all about, you know, it's all about being in business to do what you enjoy doing. Mm. And what a difference that makes, actually, because it's not about a job. It's not about having a job then and earning a salary. It's just about enjoying what you do. So there was a lot in that. So quality speakers always at those
events. Fantastic. Mm. Thank you for that. Well, I'm afraid we've come to the end of another show.
Already?
So it just leaves me to tell you what's coming up later on Channel Radio. At 4 o'clock, we have the glorious Natalie Benaig with her Kent Creative Show. And this week on the Kent Creative Show, and it's at 4 p.m. Her guests are the design agency, The Hideout, and she's also got Bill Parr from Kensell Toolco. So that's the Kent Creative Show with Natalie Benaig at 4 p.m. here on Channel Radio. At 5 o'clock is the lady's favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, he of the stripy socks. He's on with a celebrity interview with Mr. Giuseppe Lentini. Do you know Giuseppe?
I don't know.
Let me tell you about Giuseppe. Mm. Giuseppe's a 4'11" actor, yeah? He says he's Italian, but French, but he's actually Belgian. He's
confused then.
And he proudly represents diversity in acting. So he's going to be talking about diversity in the acting community, and he's going to be talking to Craig. And you can hear Craig at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tonight on Channel Radio. And then at 7 p.m., we're joining Joey Whaler for the Rockabilly Show. At 9 o'clock, we have I Was a Little Kitchener's Valet, a show focusing on the 1960s. And then, of course, as always, we finish off on a Tuesday night with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two, three, get
down! Full drumbeat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
As always on Channel Radio on a Tuesday night, we finish off with a glorious Club Culture show with Mr. Boy George. Do check that out. Martin, you got something you want to
stick
in?
Very quickly, our friends down in Sandwich, New Appointments Group are tuned in. They said, great discussion about food. Get the Food Smart app. It's a revelation.
Fantastic. Thank you. New Appointments Group. Fabulous. Folks down there in Sandwich. Thank you for that, guys. I just want to say a huge thank you to today's show guests, the lovely Sue McGowan, Director of Kent Space, Chatham and Ashford. Thank you so much, Sue, for joining us. The fantastic Mr. Neil De Silva of iNutrition. Thank you. A grudging respect for my co-host, Mr. Martin Garibaldi-White. We will be back with another Business Bunkers show at 1 o'clock next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week, everybody. Enjoy the sun. Remember to cover up. Slap some stuff on and don't get sunburned, and we will see you all healthy and happy next Tuesday. Bye for now.
Cheers.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.